Good morning. We'll begin opening of the bids meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana from the Advocate Official Journal for the State of Louisiana and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 44569 through 44582 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950, as amended. There are no letters of protest, and there are no notifications for tracts withdrawal. So we'll begin with opening of the bids.
Good morning. We did not receive any bids on track 44569, 7071, or 44572. We did receive one bid on track 44573, advertised as 2,326 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 42 acres. The bidder is Castech Energy Partners, LP. Castech Energy Partners, LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $8,652. $8,652, or a per acre value of $206. Annual rentals are $4,326. $4,326. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44574, advertised as 1,924 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 22 acres. 22 acres. The bidder is Castech Energy Partners, LP. Castech Energy Partners, LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,532. $4,532, or a per acre value of $206. Annual rentals are $2,266. $2,266. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44575 through 44581. We did receive one bid on track 44582, advertised to 614.43 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Coastal Land Services, Inc. Coastal Land Services, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $329,948.91. $329,948.91, or a per acre value of $537. Annual rentals are $164,974.46. $164,974.46. Royalties are 22.5%. And that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
Thank you, Emil. That will conclude the opening of the bids, and we'll adjourn and pick back up the mineral board meeting at 9:30 a.m.
Approved August 10th, 2016 mineral lease sale. Can you turn it louder? Turn a little bit louder. Okay. Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to the new and improved mineral lease sale on August 10, 2016. This will be the first meeting where we're doing all of the former committee's reports as staff reports. Get roll call, please.
Yes, sir. Mr. Carter? Here. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Harris?
Present.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Ms. Dugas?
Here.
Mr. Height?
Here.
Ms. LeBlanc?
Here.
Mr. Hollinshead?
Here.
Mr. Watkins?
Here.
Mr. Bradbury?
Here.
Mr. Carter? Here. We have a quorum.
How are you doing?
Paul?
Paul and myself are both here as well.
Right. I apologize.
No problem.
I thought I said here.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all here.
All here.
All right. On item three is approval of July 13, 2016 minutes. I believe all the members have received the copy via email and have a hard copy in front of them. I'd like to accept the motion to approve those minutes. Move on, Mr. Hike.
Second.
Second on Mr. Bradbury. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to approving these minutes? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. Next item is going to our staff reports. And our first report is a lease review. I designate Jason Charles as our designee to present the items.
Thank you. Good morning, members of the board. Mr. Bradbury and I are here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,411 active leases covering nearly 593,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 91 leases covering approximately 23,000 acres. We have no leases to discuss in more detail today. We did issue a letter of no objection on a 29E waiver to the LOX LLC, essentially so they can start producing a well until they have a hearing with the commissioner to essentially designate this well as an alternate unit well at an exceptional location. And are there any questions? If not, Mr. Bradbury.
Good morning, members of the board. This morning I'd like to bring one new issue under the force majeure portion of our report. Sanchez Oil and Gas Corporation has requested recognition of a force majeure affecting State Lease 1462 in LaSalle Parish, Louisiana. This is located in the middle of Catahoula Lake. The particulars behind this are that the Wildlife and Fisheries had asked all the parties in the lake if it was okay for them to get the lake drawn down early for an experiment they wanted to conduct. And everybody was agreement at the 1st of March, and at the end of March, Sanchez Oil started experiencing problems with their wellbore, and they tried to get the drawdown stopped. It got slowed down. The Corps of Engineers is the one who controls this. They managed to get out there and conduct an operation at the end of May that was unsuccessful. And by June 4th, it was too late to get another rig out there to do work. They have kind of a water level problem in the sense that the water has to be at least 34 feet for them to get the rig out to the location to get it done, you know, or get work performed. So since it became incapable on June 4th, the staff and the authority granted by the board suspended the 90-day clock on the lease as per our 2005 policy at 85 days. This lease doesn't have any force majeure language in it, so we're requesting they amend the lease to provide for force majeure under the 2005 policy, along with other subsequent resolutions that required lease amendments anytime a lease was amended. We're requesting that, or what we plan to do or recommended is that we're going to revisit this at the November 9 board meeting. By that time, the Corps of Engineers will have made up their mind as to whether or not they're going to start letting the water accumulate in the lake or not. You know, it just depends on the rain we have in the next couple months. And we'll also put the stipulation on, and we put the stipulation on it that once it reaches 34 feet, they'll have 85 days to go out there and initiate reworking operations to restore production for the lease. So I essentially just need your concurrence on this matter.
So you need us to approve adding the force majeure language and recognizing the force majeure to this lease?
It's more of a concurrence than anything else. It's kind of a gray area what we're floating in here. This was authority that was granted to us, so this is a report to the board on a recognition. And then the practice has gotten changed over the years back and forth depending on, you know, what managers thought, should we get a resolution or not. So for right now, I'd suggest the board just do a resolution on every force majeure thing that we bring up for the record, public records purposes and all that. So you can concur it or you can recognize it.
Okay, I'll take a motion to do either.
Is the motion to pass a resolution of support, Mr. Chairman? Is that
the motion would be to recognize the force majeure on this lease?
With the exception that he's asking for a resolution of support. Is that correct?
I've had this practice changed around there so many times since 2010. You know, it just started in 2010. Some of these we were getting it, so I'm going to try to be consistent here. If I bring something to your attention, I'd appreciate if you guys could do a resolution of support or concurrence or even acknowledgement.
Would you agree that if we had some bylaws, this board had some bylaws to follow, written bylaws to follow, that might help this quagmire that we're in?
Yes, sir. That's one of the things I'm hoping that we're going to clear up with the force majeure policy. This wasn't foreseen in the whole when we did this in 2005.
Right.
But now this is more a procedural thing, so we're going to try to get that cleaned up when we clean up the policy here in a few months after the hurricane season.
Are you aware as to whether or not the Mineral Board had any bylaws to give us guidance as to what our actions should be or should not be?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you. I'll second. You need a second to that motion?
I need a motion first.
I'll make that motion. Thank you.
Second.
Any comments or questions?
Chairman, I need to ask a question.
Sure, Mr. Bradbury.
What are we going to do in November when you say revisiting the issue? What do you think that's going
to
be?
By then, we'll make another report to the board to see if we're going to extend it another 90 days or what we'll do at that time. Hopefully that they'll have a clearer image. Right, their initial report to me was they wouldn't be back out there until February. So there was a possibility, looking at historical water levels, that sometimes it comes up earlier, like in December, so they may be in December. I just didn't want to recognize something until February, and 6 months later we're asking for another extension.
Is Wildlife and Fisheries done with what they were doing?
Yeah, the rest of the history of the whole thing is the Corps of Engineers, the one who manages it. So they asked Wildlife and Fisheries got them to bring it down. There's actually a newspaper article about the drawdown being early and everything. I have it. Article on it. They were drawing it down 1 month earlier. Usually they start the drawdown in June. And what happened was is they were going to conduct an experiment, and then their lawyers actually told them that they may not be able to conduct this experiment because the lands they want to conduct it on, they don't have the right to be on. So, needless to say, you know, it was something that may not have been necessary in the first place, but since it was beyond the control of the lessee themselves, that's why we're recognizing it as force majeure.
Yeah. Is this a pretty productive well?
10 barrels of oil a day. I mean, it's, you know, makes a little bit of money, turns money out, but right. I'm not going to save the farm.
Thank you, Mr. Bradbury. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Well, that's it. Thank you, gentlemen. The next staff report is a nomination and track report. I appoint you, Mr. Emil Fontenot, as a designee. Good morning. Good
morning, Mr. Chairman, board members. Approval by the board was previously granted to staff to process and advertise 14 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the August 12, 2015 mineral lease sale, this office received 25 nominations for advertisement. Three nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the October 12, 2016 mineral sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. For the October 14, 2015 mineral lease sale, this office received 36 nominations for advertisement. There are no other items to present today, and that completes the agenda.
Thank you for staff report.
I'm sorry, I do need a motion for approval. My apologies.
You heard staff report. I need a motion to approve the recommendations.
So moved.
Auto report. Move by Mr. Harris, Secretary Harris. Second. Second by Mr. Bradbury. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next report is the audit report. Good morning, Ms. Rachel. I appoint you as our designee.
Thank you. Good morning. As of July 31st, 2016, field audit collections totaled $170,289, which consisted only of penalties. There are currently 63 open royalty audits. July 2016 royalty collections totaled $14,844,850, which is also the fiscal year-to-date total. Last year's fiscal year-to-date at the same time totaled $26,549,195. We received 370 monthly state reports for the month of July. This included 138 for oil, 179 for gas, and 53 for plant products. Item number one is a request to exclude Chaparral Energy Incorporated from the fiscal year 2017 audit schedule. Chaparral filed Chapter 11 on May 9th of 2016. excuse me. Chaparral Energy Incorporated was a payer of record from May of 97 through May of 13. Total royalty paid is $1,235,639. They were field audited for January of 02 through December of 09, and there were no exceptions noted. Since the field audit, the company has paid $16,562 in royalty. Staff recommends that the audit of Chaparral Energy Incorporated be removed from the fiscal year 2017 audit schedule because no royalty is at risk.
We need a motion to accept staff report on item one.
So moved.
Talented. I'll second. Ms. Bradbury made a motion. Second by Mr. Watkins. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, it carries. Item two.
Item number two is a request to place Harvest Group LLC and any affiliated parties or parties associated with the leases pertaining to the audit on demand for audit exceptions, which were the result of a field audit. This was the company's second audit. The audit period covered April of 09 through October of 2014. They were billed on June 25, 2015, with revisions following on February 3rd of 2016. A second notice was sent on March 21st of 2016, and the total amount was $311,971. Pre-demand was sent on June 28th of 2016, and certified receipt indicates that they did receive this billing. Although there have been several attempts by staff to resolve the issues, it's been difficult to get cooperation from Harvest Group LLC. Their lack of attentiveness and desire to resolve the audit is evident. The Attorney General's office is in agreement with this request.
I'm assume that item three is the same.
Well, two different corporations. Companies. Okay. Yeah.
Do you have staff report on request for Harvest Group LLC on demand? Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Move by Mr. Watkins, second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item three.
And they are affiliates, but they are two separate audits, so that's why they are presented as two separate agenda items. Item number three is a request to place Harvest Oil and Gas LLC and any affiliated parties or parties associated with the leases pertaining to the audit on demand for exceptions which were the result of a field audit. This was the company's second audit. It covered April of 09 through October of 14. They were billed on June 8th of 2015, with revisions following on February 3rd of 2016, and second noticed on May 2nd, 2016. The total amount was $32,216. Pre-demand was sent on June 28th, 2016, and certified receipt indicates they did receive the billing. There have been several attempts by staff to resolve the outstanding issues, but it has been difficult to get cooperation. The Attorney General's office is in agreement with this request.
Thank you for staff's request to place Harvest Oil and Gas LLC on demand. Can I have a motion, please, to do so? Move by Mr. Watkins.
Second.
By Mrs. Segura. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item four.
Item number four is the staff report on the Halcon Resources Operating Incorporated bankruptcy. Halcon filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy on July 27th of 2016. They've been a payer of record since September of 1984. Total royalty paid since that date is $1,740,977. Halcon Resources Operating Incorporated was previously audited for January of 1991 through December of 1998. Halcon Resources Incorporated has been added to the 2017 audit schedule. Item number 5 is the staff report to the board that the election for August 2016 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the C. Robin Plant at Henry for the terms of the State Tax Code Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you, and that concludes the staff
report. I've got a question on that, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Hike.
On the recommendation in dealing with the bankruptcy.
Yes, sir.
Who within the division reviews those bankruptcy proceedings?
You mean the audits?
Yeah. You say that Halcon Resources is in bankruptcy, right?
Yes, sir.
Who within your department reviews the bankruptcy proceedings for the state?
The bankruptcies, we receive notice from our legal department.
Okay.
The AG's office also receives notice, so sometimes we can get notice from them.
Okay.
It comes to my shop, and we analyze them to determine whether or not they need an audit. The AG's office is the one that's responsible for filing any motions on behalf of the state.
Is anyone within your department reviewing the bankruptcy proceeding at all to determine whether or not, or what position the state would be in the bankruptcy proceeding?
I guess that really would be based on my audit. I mean, I work closely with the Attorney General, so if they need to file anything to extend the time period for our claim, they'll do that. But it really kind of depends on the audit and how soon we can get the audit completed. But we work very, very closely with them, and we check in with them regularly. If I'm not answering your question fully, I apologize. Maybe I'm not understanding.
I guess what I'm trying to find out is how much information is giving to you and then, of course, given to the board from the Attorney General's office with regards to how much is owed the state, where we are in ranking, what other creditors may be involved, that sort of thing. I understand they probably file the proof of claim, and I understand they probably inform you if there's a bankruptcy proceeding for any one lessee.
Yes, sir.
But what I want to know is, how is that process working? How does it work?
I can't speak to anything on the legal side as far as other creditors or where we rank. I can't speak to that. I can only tell you that before we begin the audit, when I come to you and tell you that they're going to be audited, I don't know how much they owe us. So we have to go through the audit process to determine if they owe us anything. That's about all I have at the time that I report.
So how long would something like that take in terms of auditing?
It depends on the size of the company. This one, I would say, if everything were ideal and we got complete cooperation and everything started on time and we got documents, I would say a few months for this one. It's not tremendously big. But some of them, as in the Swift bankruptcy, that's going to take years.
When you're notified by the Attorney General's office with regards to a bankruptcy proceeding such as this,
yes, sir,
either this or a Chapter 7, doesn't really make any difference. Are you informed by the Attorney General's office that they've taken some action to protect the state's interest?
Yes, sir. I usually am. I don't know if Chris wants to address any of it either, but they file a motion so that we can go in there and do an audit.
They file a motion what?
To make sure that we can go in and do an audit. Sometimes we have to force them.
You need to identify yourself for the record.
I apologize. Christopher Lento for the Attorney General's office. The process, typically, we will receive an email from legal staff of the DNR that it when they receive notice of a pending bankruptcy. And we will then prepare a motion to lift stay. Once the bankruptcy begins, creditors are prohibited from trying to collect any outstanding debts. We assume that since we got notice of the bankruptcy that we are on record as a potential creditor. So what we will do is approach the court and ask them for authority to lift the stay, the automatic stay, in order for us to begin an audit. And our justification for this is that we're not trying to collect money from them. We are trying to exercise our regulatory authority to determine what amounts were due the state or potentially are due the state. At this point, we're telling the court this is not an attempt to collect a debt, but for us to fulfill our statutory duties. The courts typically will allow this almost in every case. They will allow us to begin the audit. Once they sign that order, we'll contact Ms. Newman, and the audit process will begin. Once the audit process is completed, we will, at that point, file a claim for the amount. We're also in contact with the Department of Conservation to find out if there's any claims for plugging and abandonment or any sort of cleanup that are due. So as these come in, we are filing these as general unsecured claims. So that's when, typically the process.
When you file your motion to lift the stay,
yes.
Does that stop the action of the bankruptcy court to move forward with other
no
actions?
No, only it only allows us to take them to the audit process, and they can't raise a fuss. Typically, if somebody was trying this, the bankruptcy court would stop it.
So the bankruptcy court could continue to move towards
correct
resolving the whatever assets there are.
Correct. The process moves on throughout the course.
And at that point in time, we're still as an unsecured creditor?
Correct. At no point do we have any sort of, you know, priority.
And explain to us where the ranking is with regards to an unsecured creditor. Who else would be an unsecured creditor as opposed to the state and or any other companies?
I apologize. I just have to look it up on my phone. I have the document. Typically, the way the priority rankings are, secured claims are number one, and they're broken down into two types, fully secured, which covers the entire amount owed, or partially secured, and this is like a collateral situation where you put up your car to get a loan. Then ultra-priority claims come next, and these are credit that the trustees borrowed while he's administering the bankruptcy. Then third down the list come priority claims such as administrative expenses and expenses in the normal course of business that the bankrupt entity, like paying their staff, paying their bills to keep the business afloat while they're trying to maximize value. Then wages and salaries of the employees, employee benefits, these are all priority claims. Deposits for consumer goods, alimony, and child support for the debtor's dependents, that's considered a priority claim. Various taxes, insurance claims arising under the FDIC, and then at that point, general unsecured claims, and that is the category we fall into. After that is late filed unsecured claims, which is past the deadline, and claims for fines, penalties, forfeiture, or punitive damages, any interest, and then everything after that goes to the debtor.
Unsecured claims, we're in unsecured claim categories right now, which is competing with what other interests?
It's competing with Office Depot, places like that. We're competing with anybody who's extended credit but has no collateral to secure the claim.
Now, isn't it true that the state of Louisiana has a secured position as it relates to severance taxes?
That's correct. The Department of Revenue has a statutory lien on production. I believe they've had that lien since 1988.
So they're in a secured position.
They're in a secured position. They're in the first category for taxes. For tax purposes.
Not royalty.
Not for royalties. This just covers any severance taxes that are owed to the state.
Could Article 23, I know you probably don't have it in front of you, but Article 23 of the proposed new lease, which deals with executory contract, could that be construed as placing the state in a more secured position?
I think
bankruptcy proceeding?
I think, and Jim would have to correct me if I'm incorrect on this. This, what sometimes the trustee can seek to evade contracts based on whether they're executory or non-executory. That means whether or not duties are still owed by both parties or whether they're partially fulfilled. In some cases, the bankrupt entity, if he's entered into a contract and no one's really started yet, he can go to the judge and say, this was a mistake, we're going to lose money on this, would you help us out? And the bankruptcy judge will allow him to sidestep that contract. I think in our case, we tried to define whether or not our leases were executory by resolution of the board. So the purpose of that is when we go in, if a debtor tries to say this contract, we should not be held to this lease, we've tried to make it clear to the court that we consider this an executory contract, and it's not subject to being sidestepped.
So some trustees might consider it.
They might.
Some trustees might
but
not.
But it really, the bankruptcy judge will make the determination as to what it is. We're telling them we consider it this. That's fundamentally meaningless because the judge will make the decision on what he considers it is, and we're bound by that. But it was an effort on our part to clarify that.
Is it your opinion, I don't know if it's the opinion of the Attorney General's office, but is it your opinion individually that the state of Louisiana should be in a secured position in a bankruptcy proceeding?
Personally, I think that we should be in a secured position for all intents and purposes, whether it's a bankruptcy situation, whether it's somebody just bailing out on their royalties. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't want to take those protections. I spoke to the Department of Revenue bankruptcy attorney, and she said that companies know that they have to pay their royalties. Lenders know that those companies have to pay their royalties to the state. These are factors that already factor into financing decisions. So it's not an impediment because every lender expects that his company is responsible for taxes and royalty payments before they're responsible for loan payments. So personally, I don't see why we wouldn't want to protect the state from just people leaving in the middle of the night and not paying. And also in the bankruptcy situation.
Have you done any research with regards to what other states are doing with regards to such a priority position in bankruptcy?
Yes, and actually I put it together in a short summary. A lot of the other states have bankruptcy protections, and they have statutory liens that trigger. They cover the general public who are mineral interest owners and also the state mineral interest owners. So there are statutory and contractual liens in many states that are triggered just because somebody's an interest owner. And so if that company does not pay those, you know, mom and pop, less the landowner have a claim against them and they have a secured interest.
Now, this becomes really important, does it not, when we're talking about Chapter 11 as opposed to Chapter 7? Chapter 7 as opposed to Chapter 11.
It is. Traditionally, it does not seem like we've had a huge amount of problems collecting in Chapter 11 because they want to play ball. They want to keep operating. It's their asset. They want to keep it rolling forward. In the rare times that somebody did go into Chapter 7 and wanted to leave in the middle of the night, that would be a problem for us if they closed up shop. We just wouldn't have anybody to go after. It also might be a problem in Chapter 11 if they asked the judge to allow them to sidestep our lease, and the judge granted them position, and at that point they owed an amount of money to us.
One other question, I'm going to get off this subject, and that is this. I don't know if you can answer this right now, but I would ask that if you can't, do some research for us, and that is there any impediment that you know of to include in a new lease language which would state that our royalties are to be considered as secured in a bankruptcy proceeding, notwithstanding the fact that we don't have a statute in this state? Is there any impediment with regards to that?
I don't believe that there's any impediment legally for us to do that. Practical impediments, which we need to explore, is whether or not companies can obtain financing easily. That's something I think the best way to figure that out is to actually try and get in touch with lenders who do commercial lending to find out if that's a factor in their decisions to extend credit to oil companies. So I think there are practical limitations. I don't think that there are legal limitations. And if there are legal limitations, the judge will make it clear to us whether or not there are and whether or not he considers that a valid
provision.
Thank
you very much. I'm going to probably talk to you more about that as we proceed through the year, because I'm interested in somehow placing our state in a priority position in bankruptcy proceedings.
I believe we'll probably discuss this again in legal and title as well. Secretary Harris?
I did have one question. Does anyone in Office of Mental Resources have any information on how much money we have lost as uncollected due to bankruptcies in the past?
Are you talking about Chapter 11 or Chapter 7, Mr. Secretary?
Either or both.
I can provide information for audits, how much money we've found in exceptions for companies that went bankrupt and were the result of a bankruptcy audit. That's about all that my shop can do. I'm not sure about, you know, Petroleum Lands or what they have, what records they have, but that's the easiest way for me to determine what the state could have potentially lost.
Right. I'd like to add that we sent a list out to the board members of those audits of bankruptcies, and it was shown that out of over $2 million, roughly, of audit royalties, there was still a 7% outstanding, which are still open. And in fact, all the bankruptcies that we have encountered have been all Chapter 11s. And we still continue to try to find that Chapter 7 issue that I think some people are trying to safeguard against, but we haven't found any.
And I understand that, Mr. McGlay, but you know, my concern is the future, obviously. It would seem to me that if the state of Louisiana, with regards to severance, is in a priority position, it would seem to me that the rest of the state, as it relates to the royalties, should be in a priority position. Of course, my concern more than anything else is whether or not it's legal to put it in a new lease contractually without a statute, and my thought is that if two parties agree, then it should move forward, notwithstanding any possible other bankruptcy concerns. And just for your information, I've spoken to a bankruptcy attorney in Lafayette, Mr. Kip Wall, who then consulted with a trustee from Lafayette about this whole issue. And there does not seem to be any concern about that being placed in a contract between two parties, even though it's not statutorily recognized. But that was just some individual opinions. We don't want to, you know, I would not want to impede our new lease process by putting language in it which may be considered, unconstitutional, if you will, or illegal, if you will. But on the other hand, through the wisdom of whomever prepared the proposed new lease, there's a severability clause which we could put it in, and if in fact at some point in time some judge ruled that it would be illegal, the severability would allow the rest of the lease to stand. So that doesn't concern me that much. What concerns me is that the future of whatever we do in that particular area, that we are placed in a priority position. I think we should be aggressive with regards to protecting our state resources.
And if I may, this process would be governed by the Uniform Commercial Code, which Louisiana has adopted. And so we would be complying with statute in terms of making a secured credit, making us secured creditors. The same way that, you know, Go Auto or any auto dealer is able to file a secured claim against that collateral. So we would be complying with statute. Whether or not the state specifically needs statutory guidance is an item that we are unaware of, but we would be complying with statute with regards to how to perfect the interest and that sort of thing.
I look forward to you working on that issue, maybe giving us some language, you know, in the future, which we may be included in a new lease form.
Yes, sir.
Secretary Harris?
I would like to make one distinction between monies owed to us through for royalties in severance taxes. Severance taxes, it doesn't matter whether you're on private land or public land, the severance taxes are owed. In this case, what we do here, leasing state lands, we have we're in direct competition with private lands, leases that may or may not have that language in it. So while I see some merit to having a higher status when it comes to bankruptcies, I think we need, as a board, to look at the pros and cons, the balance, the benefit, and the cost, the potential cost of, you know, losing someone choosing to drill on private land as opposed to public. If we make the requirements too onerous, certainly it can have an impact on businesses looking to borrow money to drill, because the banks will look at what their status is compared to, you know, other interests like the state. So not saying one way or other whether we should do it or not, but we need to balance the two. I think one factor is looking how much money that we've lost or not collected in bankruptcies in the past. It appears to be a pretty small number. Just wanted to make the board aware of that. Thank you.
Mrs. Gore?
This question is not related to secured or unsecured, but and I don't want to open up our lease situation, but it relates to it. Is in the old leases or the new leases, or is it common in oil and gas leases to have some sort of provision that if you are in bankruptcy, that you may be in default?
Not that
non-oil field leases, you know.
Not that
I've seen. If you don't have, if you're in bankruptcy, you very well could lose your lease.
Not that I've seen, and
so you can be in bankruptcy, and
well, bankruptcy would halt that process. Like, we could not cancel a lease based on the bankruptcy alone. It's a, under the theory, like, it's a legal right that everybody should take advantage of, rather than packing up and leaving in the middle of the night. So we want to encourage companies to go into bankruptcy, and in order to do that, we stop people from canceling leases and contracts and collecting their debt. So we couldn't really stop or cancel their lease just because they afforded themselves a legal protection.
But you know,
we want them.
But more than that, if you look at Article 23, it seems to give us a little bit of that protection, and that's good. I mean, Article 23 of the proposed lease gives us some hope, if you will, because it makes reference to an executory contract, unexpired lease within the meaning of the bankruptcy code, blah 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 blah. But it doesn't put us in a solid position.
For the most part, what this is doing is that when Ms. Newman submits the amounts that are due, we submit them to the court, and we would say these are a secured claim, and here is why they're a secured claim. We would show them the filing and proof, and they would be on the court's record as a secured claim. So even if the company did not want to continue doing business in Louisiana, the court would treat us as number one status, and that's primarily what we're trying to get. I mean, as opposed to other creditors, we would come in the front of the pack with the banks and those sort of people.
Mr. Watkins?
Yeah, in light, Rachel, in light of all the bankruptcies and the limitations you have with your staff, how are y'all keeping up with all the audits of the bankruptcies? And I assume you're prioritizing. And when the proof of claim is filed, I mean, depending on the time that the company's in bankruptcy, in this case, Chapter 11, by the time the audit's finished, you know, what happens if they come out of bankruptcy and the audit's not finished and your proof of claim is incorrect? That's a whole lot. There's several questions.
That's
just comment.
To address the question of how are we keeping up with bankruptcy audits, we have been praying that they're all immaterial. Halcon, I will be honest, we cannot start this one right now. I've already discussed that with Chris and with Ryan. I have no one available. There is no one. So we're going to have to do our best when the first available person is ready, we'll send them on this one. It could be a few months, though, before we get to it. So it's a big hindrance when we have issues like this come up and we have to drop everything in audit because we have so many that are ongoing right now. What were the other questions?
Well, I guess alluding to the proof of claim. So if the staff doesn't have the ability to go out and audit some of these Chapter 11 companies, then I guess going back to the priority basis, or audit the ones that you think are more vulnerable to having error rates in their numbers. And I guess I'm just concerned that, you know, we talk about auditing and doing the proof of claim, but we really aren't capable of monitoring that.
You want to address that, Chris?
In terms of how long it takes for us to submit our proof of claim?
The time process and the limitation of staff.
Like whenever, like in this case.
Yeah, the sooner the better, obviously, yeah. Because right. We want to submit that. But these bankruptcies tend to drag out for as long as you know, it takes to sort. They're getting thousands of proofs of claims from people who work on the rigs, and sorting all those, filing them in the bankruptcy process, it's definitely protracted.
Yeah. And I will add, too, if they have leases and they want to continue doing business in the state of Louisiana, they are more likely to work with us on this. It's just every now and then we run into problems, but if they want to stay here and they want to continue to do business, they're gonna do their best to make sure they get it all taken care of.
Thank you.
Any further comments or questions? All right. Well, that concludes staff report.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Next is legal title controversy report. I appoint Mr. Emil Fontenot as our designee.
Item number one is a request by staff for a one-month extension to properly advertise an operating agreement with Union Gas Operating Company covering 0.33 unleased state acres affecting former state lease number 21421 and former state lease number 20494, situated in the Harmony Church Field, Allen Parish, Louisiana. The board granted a request to Union Gas Operating Company at the May 11, 2016 meeting for authority to negotiate an operating agreement with staff until the August 10, 2016 board meeting. The operating agreement has been completed and was initially placed on today's report for final approval by the board, but was removed from the report because it was advertised incorrectly. By extending the August 10, 2016 date set by the board to September 14, 2016, it will allow staff the time to re-advertise this item and place it on the September 14, 2016 report for final approval. Staff recommends extending the time previously authorized by the board until September the 14th, 2016.
Thank you. I've heard staff's report and recommendation. Can I have a motion to approve, please? Approved by Mrs. Segura. To approve staff's report and recommendation. Second by Mrs. LeBlanc. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, item one passes. Item two.
It's a request for final approval of an operating agreement between State Mineral and Energy Board and 5JAB, Inc. to create an operating track for the exploration and development of oil, gas, and or condensate and other liquid hydrocarbons, which proposal allocates to the state a state production interest equal to 22% before payout, increasing to 22.5% after payout, and into the operating track, covering a portion of former state lease number 19250 and 19950, containing 87.114 net acres, more or less, situated in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument, which has been duly advertised, and it appears on today's docket as item number 16-27. The board previously authorized staff to negotiate the approval mentioned terms. This involved the replacement of a pipeline across a levee to be reconstructed by the Army Corps of Engineers. Shut-in payments were inadvertently overlooked, causing the release of these leases. Staff recommends final approval of this operating agreement.
Thank you. You've heard staff's report and recommendation. Can I have a motion to approve staff's recommendation?
Move by Mr. Bradbury.
Second.
Mr. Segura.
Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, item two passes. Item three.
It is a request by 5 Jab, Inc. for a full waiver of liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $14,200 for the late release of State Lease Number 19250 and the liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $14,200 for the late release of State Lease Number 19950 in Plaquemine Parish, Louisiana. This is 5 Jab's first infraction, and in accordance with board established criteria, staff recommends a full waiver of the liquidated damage assessment for the late release of State Lease Number 19250 and 19950, totaling $28,400.
Thank you. You've heard staff's report and recommendation. Can I have a motion to approve the recommendation?
So moved.
Move by Secretary Harris.
Substitute.
Second by Mr. Hike.
No. Oh, no. I'm not seconding that.
There's a second to Mr. Secretary Harris' motion. Second by Mr. Bradbury. Any comments or questions from the board?
Yes.
Mr. Hike.
I don't like approving these waiving of penalties. I just don't. I mean, it's a contractual thing between two parties. They are aware of what's going on. You know, our state is in a position right now that we need to be very aggressive, if you will, with regards to protecting our state's interest. It's repugnant on me, with me, that someone would come before this board and ask for a waiver of $28,000 and not even appear. Not even appear.
We have representation today.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well, where are they? Sorry.
Wait for the microphone, please. Please state your name for the record.
Raymond Bates, B-E-Y-T.
Thank you.
I'd be happy to clear up any questions that you have about it.
Mr. Bates, you're an attorney for the board, for the company,
yes,
right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Could you speak in the mic?
Well, I'm sorry.
Sit down, please.
Well, I congratulate you because a lot of times we don't have folks even appearing.
No, I understand.
Even if it's a lawyer. Yeah. But go ahead.
Well, let me just tell you, we have 5 Jab is a little company out of Magnolia, Texas. It's a family-owned company. They bought these wells that were going to be plugged, actually, and they spent several hundred thousand dollars reworking the wells. They got shut in because the Corps of Engineers was doing a levee replacement, and they said, and so the pipeline company said, we're going to shut you in for 60 days, okay? So they were shut in for much longer than 60 days. And what happens, they don't have a land department, but what they didn't understand that the two state leases that were involved had shut-in rental payments, okay? So they didn't realize that, and so as time went on, the lease lapsed, okay? So when it was called to their attention, we, of course, negotiated an operating agreement covering that. We've also paid back to the state the $8,000 that would have been paid as a shut-in rental. So the state is actually getting paid, first of all. And also, too, that these are small shut-in, small stripper type of wells. The state makes about $5,000 to $6,000 the way I computed it with commodity prices right now on that. So you have wells that were going to be shut in. You have a little company that was just starting out operating in Louisiana. A force majeure is what happened, okay? So it wasn't their fault, and like Mr. Fontenot says, this is the criteria usually is to forgive that first infraction. And I understand it is a lot of money.
Well, I think you've convinced me. I appreciate your attendance. you know, we need to have more of that, and we need to have more of explanation from the company,
right.
Company themselves. I appreciate your attendance.
Thank you.
And I'm going to withdraw my objection.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Bradbury.
Has a state ever not granted a waiver for first infraction?
That's correct. They have.
They have?
They have not at times. That is correct. They imposed. They stayed with the penalty. They did not waive it at times.
Okay.
These are different situations. In addition to Mr. Bate, there was a third party involved, which was West Texas Gas Pipeline, and they were the kind of negotiating party with the Corps of Engineers. So 5JAB was kind of out of the play in this, and they didn't quite have enough control in addition to the other things he said. So we felt, staff felt that it was a good recommendation to come to the board with.
I'm in agreement here. I was just wondering if there was a precedent set before for not allowing a first infraction waiver.
I'm shooting from the hip. I don't recall, but I can do some research and find out.
My only suggestion is that these first infraction waivers are a considerable amount of money, and I'm, you know, talking more than $28,000, $50,000, $100,000 to the state. I think it does call for debate by this board to assure that we address those types of issues.
Your point well taken, sir.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions from the board?
Can I have a quick question?
Yes, sir, Ms. Allison.
Mr. Trump, how many wells are on this lease, and what's the production? You mentioned there were stripper wells. So is it one well, or is it multiple wells?
I don't have that technical information.
They actually bought two wells that were going to be plugged, and on this lease there's just one well. And I think the payout is maybe $90,000 away from having the higher state royalty interest. And like Mr. Fontenot said, they were completely out of the loop.
Okay. No, that answers my question. Thank you.
Huh?
No, you answered my question. Thank you. One well, one stripper well.
Okay. Any further comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, that motion passes.
Item number four is a request for final approval of a settlement and release by the State of Louisiana and Earl Willard Cook et al., whereas said parties have reached a settlement in the matter entitled Earl Willard Cook et al. Versus the State of Louisiana and Petrohawk Properties, LP, docket number 137192, Division A, 26 JDC, Bossier Parish, State of Louisiana, affecting state lease number 20030, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument, which has been duly advertised and appears on today's docket as item number 16-28. The Cooks filed suit against the state asserting ownership of the mineral interest pertaining to 39.494 acres within the HARUSUE Hamel Well. Petrohawk responded to the suit by invoking a concursus proceeding as to the unit. The state will receive 50% of the escrowed funds and 50% of the revenues from production on a go-forward basis, and 50% of the escrow and 50% of production going forward to Earl William Cook et al., as previously authorized by the board. Staff recommends final approval of this settlement and release.
Thank you. Heard staff's report and recommendation?
Move to accept.
Motion by Mr. Segura to accept staff's recommendation. Is there a second? Second by Secretary Harris. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item 5.
It's a request for final approval of a lease amendment by the State Mineral and Energy Board and Ballard Exploration Company, Inc., whereas said parties desire to amend said lease to include the force majeure provision, shut-in payment clause, and other required clauses affecting state lease number 18158, situated in Cameron Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument, which was duly advertised, and it appears on today's docket as item number 16-29. The different provisions are in your packet for your benefit. and the staff recommends final approval of these lease amendments.
We have a motion to approve the for final approval, please. Mr. Hollingshead, make a motion to approve staff recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Cordero, any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item six.
A request for final approval of a settlement and release by the State of Louisiana, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and William Elton Kennedy, whereas said parties have reached a settlement in the matter entitled Chesapeake Operating, Inc. and Chesapeake Louisiana LP versus the State Mineral and Energy Board of Louisiana, et al., docket number C-138840, Division D, 26 JDC, in Bossier Parish, affecting state lease number 20566, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument which was duly advertised, and that appears on today's docket as item number 16-30. The state and William Kennedy asserted competing claims to ownership of minerals lying under approximately 504.03 acres situated within the hereinafter mentioned units. As previously authorized by the board, the staff will receive 70% and Kennedy will receive 30% of the proceeds deposited in the registry of the courts after court costs paid, and the state will receive 85% and Kennedy will receive 15% going forward from reduction from the HARASUU, HARASUC, and the HARASUR units in Swan Lake Field. Staff recommends final approval of this settlement, receipt, and release.
We hear staff's report and recommendation. We have a motion, please.
Moved.
Move on, Mr. Bradbury, to accept staff's recommendation. A second. Second by Ms. LeBlanc. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number seven is a request by Talos Gulf Coast Onshore LLC for a one-year extension from August the 10th, 2016, for authority to escrow funds derived from production on acreage, which is a title dispute between the state and LL&E in the 86 RA SUA State Lease 21092 number 1 well in West Bay Sandy Lane Field, situated in Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana, which authority was originally granted on July 9, 2014, and subsequent authority, which extended through August the 10th, 2016. This matter was on the agenda in July, but the board inadvertently did not take any action. Talos is in compliance with OMR's deposits and SR9 reporting requirements for escrowing authority, but negotiations are still ongoing, and additional time beyond the August 10th, 2016 authorization previously granted in Resolution 16-02-006 is needed. Staff recommends approval of Talos' request for a one-year extension and recommends an extension be granted until August the 9th, 2016 board meeting or the date of the next meeting of the board thereafter, should it not meet that month unless settlement is reached prior to that time.
I believe the request is for 2017, correct?
August 2017.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
No problem. You have a motion to approve staff's recommendation?
Move.
Move, Ms. Segura, to accept staff's recommendation. Is there a second, please?
Second.
Second by Secretary Harris. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this extension? Hearing none, the motion is approved.
Item number eight is a request by the Attorney General's Office in Hillcore Energy Company, et al., for an extension of the escrow authority previously granted by the board related to title disputed acreage within state lease number 724-21150, 21152, and 21157, situated in the SIP Chorus RA SUA Four Isle Dome Field, Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana. Hillcore is in compliance with OMR's deposit and SR reporting requirements for escrowing authority, but negotiations are still ongoing, and additional time beyond the August 10, 2016 authority previously granted in Resolution 16-02-007 is needed to permit the interested parties to negotiate an amicable resolution of the title dispute. Staff recommends approval of the party's request for an extension and recommends an extension be granted until the December 14th, 2016 board meeting or the date of the next meeting of the board thereafter, should it not meet that month, to allow for evaluation and resolution of the adverse claim.
You have heard staff's report and recommendations. A motion to approve.
I'll move.
Mr. Bradbury, the motion by Mr. Bradbury, second by Mr. Watkins. Any comments or questions by the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item 9.
Item number 9 is a request by Mr. Theodore M. Hike, Jr., member of the State Mineral and Energy Board, to consider making the state of Louisiana a secured creditor in bankruptcy proceedings for monies owed pursuant to an oil and gas lease, and discussion of the following language suggested by the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General's office provided the following language. In accordance with the terms of this agreement.
Mr. Chairman, may I interrupt in just a minute?
Sure.
I'd like to make a motion that I withdraw this request so we don't have to go through reading the whole thing, okay? I want to withdraw that request from the agenda. Do we need a motion to that effect? I'll make that motion.
Make a motion to withdraw. So do you not want this added to the?
No. I withdraw that request. So I'll make a motion to withdraw the request.
A motion to withdraw.
Second.
Item 9 from the agenda.
Needs to be unanimous. Correct. To change the agenda.
Thank you. So, Mr. Hike has made a motion to remove item 9 from the agenda. Mr. Segura has seconded it. It needs to be unanimous to be removed. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is there any board members that oppose to this motion? Hearing none, it's unanimous.
But I'd like to make another motion. My motion is this. I would move and ask for a second that the Attorney General's office render a memorandum to the board within the next 60 days with regards to this issue and give us some guidance as to whether or not this could be included in the new lease, so that I think that would give you enough time to evaluate all the issues that we've been concerned about.
I think we need to add that item to the agenda or take it on a new business.
Well,
so add this item to the agenda via roll call vote, or could we do it at new business at a later date at this meeting?
I mean, I don't see why it couldn't be done right now.
You can add it to this portion, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, whatever the board wants to do, but basically understand what I'm asking, and that is that I want the Attorney General's office to go back, take a look at this issue within 60 days, give us a memorandum as to whether or not this is a viable option or not. And I'd ask you to take a serious look at Article 23 of the proposed new lease, because I think that's significant.
Do we need a motion or just a request?
I'd like to make it a motion.
Okay, so you want to add this motion to the this request to the agenda. I need help here, guys. Where's my attorneys? But that item has already been withdrawn.
Yeah.
It's already been withdrawn.
Whatever the pleasure
of the chairman is, I would think that it's within the jurisdiction and germane to this particular committee. It doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care if we do it now or we do it later.
Right.
Basically, it's the same thing, and that is I would like to see you do a memorandum to the board.
Let's take a roll call vote to add this item to the agenda to replace item 9. Do that. Do a roll call vote. Mr. Watkins, are you in favor?
Yes.
Ms. Dugas? Mr. Cordero?
Yes.
Secretary Harris? Mr. Segura?
Yes.
Ms. LeBlanc? Mr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Hollinshead?
Yes.
Mr. Carter? Mr. Bradbury?
Yes.
And myself, I approve, so that's unanimous.
Thank you.
Now, can we need a second to Mr. Hike's motion?
Do you need a second?
A second to Mr. Hike's motion to the Attorney General to provide information.
You did.
Second by Mr. Segura. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is there anyone opposed?
For the October lease sale? Or a report back for the October lease sale?
October meeting.
Meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any public comment in addition of this item to the agenda? Is there any public comment towards this motion? Is anyone opposed to the motion? Hearing none, it is approved. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. My throat was getting a little dry. I'm glad I didn't have to read that.
I saw it in your face.
Item number 10 is a request by the Attorney General's Office to extend the authority to escrow royalties granted to Shoreline Southeast LLC on production from the Shoreline LL&E number 1 well, Upper Discarbus 12 RASUA. This is in the Bastion Bay field, Blackmans Parish, Louisiana, attributable to the disputed acreage subject to the conditions set forth in Resolution Number 15-06-016 and 16-01-016. The Upper Discarbus 12 RASUA includes water bottoms covered by State Lease Number 21436 that are owned of record and are claimed adversely by the state to the state by the Louisiana Land and Exploration Company and Plaquemines Parish government. Shoreline Southeast LLC is in compliance with the OMR's deposit and SR reporting requirements for escrowing royalty, but negotiations are still ongoing and additional time beyond the June 8, 2016 authorization previously granted in Resolution 16-01-016 is needed. Staff recommends approval of the Attorney General's request and recommends a one-year extension be granted effective June 8, 2016 and continuing through the June 2017 board meeting or the date of the next meeting of the board thereafter should it not meet to allow for continuing evaluation, negotiations, and resolution of the adverse claims.
Thank you for staff's report and recommendation. Do you have a motion, please, to accept it? Move by Mr. Watkins, second by Mrs. LeBlanc. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, it passes. Item 11.
It is the final item on legal and title. It's a request by Salute Resources, LLC, for a waiver of the liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $3,600 for failure to timely renew its leaseholder registration regarding its interest in State Lease Number 21187. In October of 2015, the Office of Mineral Resources emailed all leaseholders a notice to renew their registration as required by revised statute 30:123.1. The email was sent to the last address given to OMR by the leaseholder. As a result, Salute's failure to respond, OMR's attempted to contact it via telephone without success. OMR then sent a second notice dated April the 7th, 2016 via registered mail return receipt requested to the address given by Salute. The registered letter was returned to OMR by the postal system as return to sender, unable to forward.
on May 11, 2016, by resolution number 16-05-014, the board authorized the staff to make final demand upon Salute to either re-register by May 31st, 2016, or liquidated damages at a rate of $100 per day would begin to accrue on June 1, 2016, in accordance with Louisiana Revised Statute 30:123.1c. A third notice was sent by FedEx on May 18, 2016, and it too was returned on June 3, 2016, with the note, return package to shipper. Staff's continued effort to locate a representative of Salute through industry-related contacts eventually led to communications with Mr. Rusty Buchanan, representing Salute, on July the 7th, 2016. Mr. Buchanan acknowledged that he represented Salute and indicated that he had not received the previous letters sent because they had moved their office. He mentioned that he placed a change of address request with the postal system in his area, excuse me, and does not know why our letters were not forwarded to him. Salute promptly registered that day. State lease number 21187 is the only lease in which Salute owns an interest. Salute is in the process of assigning all of its rights, title, and interests therein and obtaining board approval. Louisiana Revised Statute 30:123.1c authorizes the board to waive in whole or in part said liquidated damages. At present, there is no established protocol or criteria for the waiver of liquidated damages for the failure to re-register. The staff has reviewed Salute's records and determined that Salute has never been assessed any liquidated damages or had any penalties waived in the past. Based on the facts as stated and Salute's immediate compliance when contacted, the staff recommends that Salute's request for a waiver be granted.
So this is a 36 day?
I'm sorry?
They were late for 36 days?
They were, yes, sir. Okay.
You've heard staff's report and recommendation. Have a motion to approve the recommendation. Any motions?
Is there a representative here?
They're out of Midland, Texas, and no, sir, there's not. I understand what you're saying, and we share the same as all of the board. We want to protect the state's interest, but we want to be as friendly as possible as well. And this has been a growing and a learning process for the staff in dealing with this issue right here. As we move forward, we fine-tune some of our procedures to make it more palatable when we come to you. But these situations are going to continue to exist until we have more staff and people that can actually do what needs to be done. So we're doing the best we can, and unfortunately we come with this kind of request to you. We don't like it as well. But
did Salute change the email address as well?
Yes, it did.
It did?
Yes, it did.
So we had no way to contact
Well,
them.
Yes, and actually the only change was a com and a net. It was the same address. It was .com in our records, mm-hmm. and his email was the same email .net. So yes, it did change, and it could have been a typo. We handle.
So when we sent out the original notices to the corporation, they received nothing from us then.
No,
they never received the emails, and this is just them registering their contact people. Correct.
That's correct. And for clarity for the board, we do this every October. We send a mass email out, but some of these companies, the personnel who are in charge of this, they leave, and the other key personnel don't think about it. They're struggling. They're trying to keep their business afloat, and it's like, well, that was the last known address we had, but we're fighting that, and we persist. We kind of did this, and maybe we should have taken some more time before coming to the board with this issue. Be that as it may, we're learning as we're going, and we're going to continue to pursue it to the last degree. And if not, then we'll come back to you. But we're going to try to iron out these issues.
And once they became aware of the situation, they immediately rectified it.
99.9% of them. We do have one or two that's not wanting to comply with us, and we're going to deal with them. But, yes, they do comply.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, Ms. Bradbury.
Mr. Bradbury, you were reading on the staff recommendations, paragraph 1. You stated that you read that OMR then sent a second notice dated April the 7th. My document shows April the 20th.
The second notice is April the 20th, 2016.
I think you read into the record April the 7th.
If I did, then I'll stand.
I just wanted to clarify the record.
Thank you very much, sir. It was second notice was April the 20th, 2016.
And Mr. Chairman, I implore the board to this small amount to waive it. I'm in support of that.
Second. You make a motion to accept staff's recommendations.
I just want to make one statement.
Okay, I got a second from Secretary Harris. Mr. Hike.
With a last name like Fontenot, I would never question your integrity. I promise you. You got my vote.
Thank you, sir.
No, I understand what you said. And although, you know, I'm kind of against waiving penalties, your integrity to me is most important.
Appreciate that, sir.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this penalty waiver? Hearing none, the motion passes. That concludes all legal and title controversy. Next, we have the docket review committee. And appoint Mr. Macy Dennis as our designee. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The staff of the Petroleum Land Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the August 10th, 2016 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, there were no items received for this category. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number 1 through items 18. For Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries State Agency lease transfers, there was no items received for this category. For Category D, advertised proposals, item 1, deferred at the request of staff. Please approve items number 2 through items number 5, and this will complete the staff's recommendations to the docket review committee.
Thank you. I heard staff's report and recommendations. Have a motion to approve. Moved by DeGore.
Moved.
And second by Ms. Allison. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this approval? Hearing none, the docket is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that concludes our staff reports. Item 5 is to go to executive session. And Mr. Cordero, I believe we have the information for that.
Oh, there are two items in executive session.
Wrong Emil. That's fine. Mr. Fontenot, it's on you.
And I apologize for calling you Mr. Bradbury, but no offense to Mr. Bradbury.
No offense taken. there are two items in executive session. A is an update regarding discussion with disputing landowners, ConocoPhillips successor to LLNE as to title disputed acreage within state lease number 724-21150-21152, situated within the SIP CARS RA SUA Unit 4 Isle Dome Field, Terrebonne Parish. And the other will be discussion with Duncan Oil, Inc. versus Louisiana State Mineral and Energy Board, docket number 004513, Division D, 14th JDC, Calcasieu Parish.
I believe we'll also be discussing the technical briefing on the bids during this executive session. Is that correct? All right, so there's three items on the agenda for executive session.
Can I have a motion to approve?
Move to go on executive session.
Move by Mr. Gore. Second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Anyone opposed to go on executive session? Hearing none, it's unanimous. Thank you. We'll be back shortly. We can make a motion to come out of executive session.
Move.
Have motion by Mr. Segura.
Second.
Second by Mr. Watkins. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? I think we're out of executive session. This time I'm going to give a 10-minute recess to the meeting to allow us some personal business taken care of, and we'll re- we'll return. What time?
11:25.
We'll call back to order at 11:25. Thank you. 10-minute break. 10-minute break. 11:25. We'll come back. Thank y'all.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
I'd like to call a board meeting and the lease sale back to order, please. Come out of recess. Thank you. We have some issues to take care of our executive session. So, Mr. Fontenot, can you please make those presentations?
Yes, sir. Item A, dealing with ConocoPhillips. We're requesting that authority be granted to the Attorney General's office to go forward with the negotiations as discussed in executive session.
Thank you. You've heard the recommendation from the staff and a motion to approve. We have a Mr. Watkins. Second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, that motion is carried.
And item second item B, dealing with Duncan Oil. We request that authority be given to the Attorney General's office to appeal to the Third Circuit as discussed in executive session.
You have a motion to that effect, please. Move by Mr. Secretary Harris. Second by Mr. Watkins. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, that motion is approved as well. I believe we have our technical briefing report.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairman.
Recommendations.
Jason Talbot with the Geological Engineering Section. We are recommending that all three bids today be accepted.
Thank you. You heard the staff recommend that all three bids received today be accepted. You have a motion to do so, please. Moved by Mr. Harris, second by Mr. Cordero. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to awarding these leases? Hearing none, they are awarded. Thank you. Item seven is new business. No, we just awarded leases.
Okay.
We have a request by Mr. Theodore Hike to discuss adding language to the proposed new lease form in regard to severability and jurisdictions. Mr. Hike?
Mr. Chairman, I want to make a similar motion that as I made earlier on the issue of bankruptcy, and that is, and I'm going to give you an explanation in just a minute.
and that is that I want to withdraw this request. But I'm going to make a motion that the same motion asking the Attorney General's office to give us a memorandum within 60 days with regards to the language that I'm proposing. And the reason for it is this, primarily, is this, that what I attempted to do was to tighten the language as it relates to severability and jurisdiction, primarily as it relates to jurisdiction and venue. Any time that the state of Louisiana is sued, with this exception, it's in the 19th Judicial District. Now, I don't know why the exception exists for our mineral leases. It seems to me is disingenuous. We just saw in our executive session some of the concerns with Duncan Oil, but that's not the first time. So I would like the Attorney General, my motion is to ask the Attorney General to review this request and give us some direction with regards to the validity of this issue and the validity of the language that I'm proposing and report back to us within 60 days. That's my motion.
Okay, and so actually we can take no action on the original new business request of A.
Yeah.
There's no reason to withdraw it. There's no motion to approve it, so it dies.
Okay.
But you made a motion to ask the Attorney General his opinion within 60 days on jurisdiction.
Jurisdiction and venue.
And venue.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Gore. Any comments or questions from the board?
And let me say this, too, that I know that, just be prepared, gentlemen and ladies, that there's going to be some pushback from industry on this, obviously. But I don't know what the justification would be to allow this type of thing to go on in the various parishes while we're getting fleeced. And it's been over and over and over again that I've seen it. And I think that we could reduce this good old boy type of politics as it relates to interpreting our leases and our concursus issues if it's done here in the 19th Judicial District like every other issue that deals with our state boards. And that's the purpose of my including the 19th Judicial District.
Thank you. Any further comments from the board? Any comments, questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to Mr. Hike's motion and request? You're not opposed? Motion carries. Item B. There's a call for nominations and election of a chairman and vice chairman for the next term, which starts October 2016.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we postpone this action till next month's meeting.
Is there a second to Secretary Harris's motion? Second by Mr. Bradbury. Any comments or questions on the motion?
Mr. Secretary, I just want you to know that I don't know if it's going to be taken up at the next meeting, but about a year ago, my wife and I planned a trip to France, and I love every person on this board and staff and everybody else, but I'm not going to be giving up that trip for any one of you.
Let's have the meeting in France.
I will be more than happy. We're going to charge it to Segura Investments. Is that
a,
yet?
Was that a motion?
That's a motion.
Per diem might handle it, huh?
And we all go to jail at the same time.
Do you expect to be here for the September
October meeting? I'll be back. I'm just going to miss the September meeting because of that.
Is it possible for me to
amend your motion?
Amend my motion to postpone this till the October meeting. I believe the current chairman, yourself, your term runs through October.
So you're making
I'd like to
amend your motion. There's no second, right?
It was seconded by Mr. Bradbury.
Mr. Bradbury, would you be
procedurally how I do that?
Would you concur with his the second for his change in the motion?
I'd like to accommodate.
So the motion is to have the nominations and elections in it during the October meeting.
Yes.
Any further comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public?
Is anyone opposed? Hearing none, that motion passes. Thank you. That's it for new business, I believe. Item 8 is announcements. Mr. Goulet?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Total cash payments for the August 10th, 2016 lease sale of $343,132.91 was received. Year-to-date payments for the 17 fiscal year is $402,282.91. I'd also like to point out that we'll be presenting at the LOGA conference in Lafayette, September 21st. There'll be a brief sunrise edition to the conference on September 21st. And I'd also like to point out Ms. Talley, who served the board for many years as deputy secretary, and appreciate all her efforts in supporting OMR and the board. And also wish you safe travels to your first grandbaby.
Oh, thank you. I do appreciate any prayers for my daughter, her husband, and my new grandchild, which probably born tomorrow morning. So, right. Thank y'all. Any further business for the board? Hearing none, I take a motion to adjourn. Secretary Harris made the motion, second by Mr. Cordero. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you.